Well, then let's call this special meeting of the Zone 3 Flood Control Advisory Committee to order. I guess we'll have then a roll call, please.
Yeah, Member Barnidge?
Here.
Member Bright?
Here.
Member Tally?
Here.
Member Hageman? Member Gibson? And Member Guthrie? All right, we have three of our seven of our six currently, so we do not have a quorum as we get started.
Karen and Jill, I just texted Shirley and she said she's trying to sign in. So I just told her if that doesn't work, just to call in.
Okay, fantastic.
Good. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Okay. So shall we wait for her to call in?
Yeah, we probably should give her another minute.
Okay. She just texted me again. She said she can't find the number. So I'm going to just send her, I think, a screenshot. So hang on, everybody.
All right.
Absolutely.
No worries. I totally understand. Well, the good news is we now have a quorum. So why don't we go ahead and get started? If Brad happens to join us or Marcia, I'll duly note that in the minutes.
So maybe we should have, why don't we have, now we'll call this to order. We'll, the Zone 3 meeting of, special meeting of August 27th, 2020. So Jill, if you wouldn't mind, now we'll do the roll call, please.
All right. Member Gibson?
Here.
Member Hageman? Member Guthrie? Member Tally?
Here.
Member Bright?
Here.
Member Barnidge?
Here.
All right, we have a quorum.
Very good. So do we have any public comment at this time?
I do. I would like to let the committee know that I received Jim Gehring's formal resignation from the committee. So I will be posting a vacancy per the PATI Act, and we will be looking for applicants. I've received one application so far, and this would be for the member at large position. So if there's anybody that lives within Zone 3, that you, anyone knows or would like to put out, would like to join us as an applicant, I will take this to the Board of Supervisors for their approval in about a month and a half. If I get I have one applicant, so if there's others, that would be great as well. We can always use alternates.
Perfect. Thank you. Is that it for public comment?
Can you tell us who the applicant is right now?
I think so. It is Matthew Scrudato.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
If there are no other public comment, then we'll move on to the action item, the agreement with Tesla for energy battery storage project at Lopez Water Treatment Plant. And I guess that's you, Jill?
Yeah.
Correct?
So I'll give a brief introduction. Hopefully, you've all received the staff report and had a chance to look over that. Along with the staff report was the proposal by Tesla for energy battery storage at the water treatment plant. And briefly, this is an option, this is an opportunity for us to receive basically free battery storage for a number of years. The big benefit that to engaging in this proposal is the ability to shave off peak usage. And if you're not familiar, most of the time when our energy bills are based on your peak usage. And so if you can use power in the non-peak times, your energy bill will be significantly reduced. And that is the main benefit for the water treatment plant in this particular proposal, because the plant does have an existing generator for power in the instances where we do not, like in a public safety power shutdown, or some other, you know, lack of energy or PG&E going down. So, but other than the details, we have Annie Seacrest, who is the county's energy and water coordinator, as well as Caleb Patrick from Tesla. And they are going to run through a PowerPoint. So I'm going to let her be the presenter here, just a minute. Are you ready, Annie?
I am, yeah.
All right, so I guess I need to, yep, there we go.
Okay, I think it's working. Okay, I'm just making sure. Oh, let's see here. As soon as I hit present, it goes out of a different window. Let me see here. Do that. Darn. Okay. Okay, and Jill, would you mind just sharing one more time? Or making me the presenter, rather?
Okay, let's see. You already are the presenter.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I didn't share my screen.
Yeah, it shows hers.
Yeah, it says you are the presenter.
Okay, well, let me see here. Ah, there we go. Okay, so I know that our folks on the phone won't be able to see it. So I understand you have the deck, but even if you don't have the deck, I think this will just be, you know, good overview that you won't necessarily need to see the screen for. But hello, everyone. Karen, Kristen, Brian, and Shirley, thank you so much for being available on the short notice for this meeting today. So, like Jill said, my name is Annie Seacrest, and I am pleased to be speaking with you today about an exciting project that the county and Tesla have been working on. So today we're bringing forward a project that we're hoping to get your support on, and it's essentially able to bring energy storage to Lopez Water Treatment Plant at zero cost to the county for install, and Tesla will be paying 100% of the cost through the state's self-generation incentive program. So like Jill said, I'm the county's energy coordinator, and I work with Jill, David, and Mark in the Public Works Department. And also today we have Caleb Patrick of Tesla, who I've been working with on the project, and we will discuss in depth today and have him available for any questions at the end. So Caleb, feel free to introduce yourself to the group.
Okay, thanks, Annie. Yeah, hi, my name is Caleb Patrick. I work on the Tesla energy storage product development side here, focused on direct sales in the Americas. So we're specifically focused on this incentive program for critical infrastructure in California. Since funding, there's a kind of a limited window here. So funding was released in May in PG&E, and we expect it to run out about the end of September. So that's pretty much been our whole focus in 2020 is trying to develop these projects.
Great. Okay. So we will, let me see if I can advance it to the next slide or how I can advance it to the next slide. There we go. So today we're going to talk about the background of how we got here. We're also going to discuss the state's self-generation incentive program, or SGIP. And that's what's affording us this opportunity that we're presenting to you today to have battery energy storage projects installed by Tesla for $0 out of pocket for the county. We'll also go through the sites that were selected, the benefits, the system technology, and the savings. And then at the end, we'll have an open, you know, Q&A dialogue, so you can ask any questions that you might have of myself and Tesla. Okay, so I'm in the facilities planning division of Public Works, and the bulk of my role is to determine how we can reduce or offset energy consumption at our various sites. Lopez is one of the highest consumers of energy at our portfolio. So it has the sixth highest overall energy consumption and our fifth highest demand in our portfolio. So we've had other consultants present us with battery energy storage proposals in the past. Oh yeah, go ahead.
So you said Lopez. Are you talking specifically about the water treatment plant or the combined facilities of Lopez Lake and the water treatment plant?
Yeah, that's a great clarifying question. So the project would be at the plant itself, and most of the consumption and demand is derived there. The aggregate of, the sixth highest overall and fifth highest, that's for the plant itself, not the ancillary, pump stations that are not at the actual facility.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, great question though. So we've had other consultants present us with battery energy storage proposals in the past, but we've typically run into two problems with getting those projects approved. And usually the first one is the speed at which these projects move. So we're going for state funding here. And once the state opens up these programs, they're first come, first serve, which is really just opening the floodgates to applicants. So in the past, we've had problems getting the approvals fast enough to be able to capture any incentives. But then the other thing is, and we'll talk more about the SGIP program on the next slide, but there's been recent improvements to this program, which now covers 100% of the cost to installing battery energy systems. In the past, that hasn't been the case. So there's always been an out-of-pocket cost for the county. And so after this recent program update at the end of 2019, after the most recent update, Tesla reached out to us to talk about the new change and to give us an idea of what the new landscape looked like for the SGIP incentives. And, you know, like Jill was saying, one of the things that I see with this site and our other water sites when we're looking at how to either cut costs or figure out ways that we can offset consumption is the demand charges that we get hit with. battery energy storage is an excellent solution for the kind of sites that Lopez Water Treatment Plant is, because the batteries can store the energy that's not being used during off-peak demand times when the energy is cheapest, but then deploy that energy at times during peak demand charges. And oftentimes the peak demand charges that we can get hit with are 50% of the bill that we have to pay PG&E. Oh, and I haven't been queuing you. Sorry. So if you're looking on your slides, we are now moving to the self-generation incentive program slide, which is the fourth one, I believe. So the self-generation incentive program, or SGIP, it's a statewide program to implement distributed energy resources throughout the state, which includes battery energy storage systems. So like I was saying, this program has been around for a while, but in late 2019, the state overhauled the equity resiliency budget, which is what we are going for, with new rules and increased funding. And, you know, like I was saying on the last slide, this budget has always existed, but the incentive levels were the same as the normal program budget. There was no added incentive for us. So when the CPUC when the California Public Utilities decided that they were going to overhaul this budget, they were explicit and stated in their decision that the intention was to essentially either pay for or nearly pay for the installation of storage systems. So the goal of the CPUC is to cover 100% of the costs in this particular equity resiliency budget. There's other different budgets within the SGIP program, but this little corner that we're going for that has certain criteria will pay for 100% of the costs. And again, that's a new update. So the proposals that we've had in the past that haven't completely had all the costs covered, that's why. So like Caleb was saying, there was about $270 million that was authorized back in March, and about $93 million of that remains. And, you know, the funding is first come, first serve. So in order to secure the funding, we have to apply with a fully developed project. We can't just submit an interest form saying that we'd like to do a battery storage project. So this particular budget, equity resiliency, there's three main criteria marks that we have to hit. And we'll talk about the site selection, I think, on the next slide. But there's a pretty specific grouping of our sites that fall into this. So the first one is that the site must be located in a high fire threat district. And, you know, if you think about the public safety power shutoff events that happened all over the state last year, one of the goals is to deploy backup power in areas that could lose power because of wildfires or other power outage events. The next one is that the facility must be a critical facility, serve critical services, and of course the water treatment plant falls underneath this. And then the last one, and this is kind of where it gets tricky for us to meet criteria in other areas of the county, is that we have to provide those services to at least one or more communities that are in a high fire threat district, but are also in a disadvantaged community or a low income census tract. So we looked at the service maps that apply to Lopez Water Treatment Plant, and we fall under all three of these criteria. So we're eligible, you know, on paper for the equity resiliency budget. I am now going to the next slide, which is the SGIP project steps slide. So you know, there's several steps to this process, and what we've done so far is we've gone through a really robust data collection, and Tesla has then analyzed that data to figure out what sites were eligible, what sites, you know, had a lot of demand, just kind of narrowing a list down to figure out which county sites would be good opportunities for this. Tesla put together some proposals, which you have seen with the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. And then as part of that, you know, preparing applications to submit to this program. And I didn't include this on the slide, you know, so this is just more just me talking, but One of the things that I did while we were going through this whole data collection effort was work with county council to review the contracts and the NDA documents, just in anticipation of negotiations, just, you know, based on other projects that I've worked with, we've had to do kind of an extensive negotiation process. But ultimately, council did not have any suggestions for negotiations or any issues with the documents. So we were good there. And then important for this site and other sites that we were looking at, I wanted to make sure that Tesla had, contracted with entities that were similar to ours. So they, provided references for, and we did some research into Humboldt Municipal Water District and the County of Lake up north. So still on that slide, just kind of in the middle chunk here. So where we're at right now is what we're hoping to do is receive approval for this site for Tesla to submit to the program. And then if we were approved to implement that project with Tesla, if, we received approval from your group, we still need to go to the county board and have them sign. And then we'd be able to hopefully receive approval from the state. And then once we did, we would have the system installed. After the contract expires with Tesla, after 10 years, the operation and maintenance shift to the county. We'll talk more about that. So for 10 years, the county would assume O&M responsibilities. And then at the end of year 20, when the effective useful life of the batteries is exhausted, then we would ship the batteries back to the Tesla recycling facility in Nevada. So now we're on the site selection slide. So like I said, as part of this data collection effort and just figuring out which sites would work, the site that we're bringing to you today is for Lopez Water Treatment Plant, the actual plant. And, due to those three criteria that we reviewed, this was the only one of the sites in your purview that met all the criteria. And, as I noted before, Lopez's energy demand being the fifth highest in our portfolio alone makes them an attractive candidate for energy storage systems. But given that this is also a critical facility that serves areas that fall under the state's disadvantaged thresholds, it meets all the criteria for the equity resiliency budget. And just so you all are aware, we are intending on bundling this project, the Lopez project, with two other sites, the intake and the Rocky Canyon pump stations in North County, and taking those all to the Board of Supervisors together. And these are the first three projects that will hopefully go to the county board for their approval. Because in my opinion, these are sort of the most lucrative and best projects that we can bring forward for this effort. There are three other ones outside of that we're looking at, just so you know. Okay, so now we are going to the energy storage system details slide. As part of this, Tesla analyzed our 15-minute interval data for this site. And through that, they're proposing a 420 kilowatt energy system that's valued at $1.35 million. The fully charged duration is 14 hours with the average duration of 7 hours. And, like Jill said, I think the major benefit of the system is really the energy savings. Again, this site uses a considerable amount of energy, demands a considerable amount of energy. And because of this, energy storage is a really great solution. The battery energy system will store the energy that's not being used during off-peak times when energy is cheap, and then deploy it during peak demand times when energy costs are, often double what they are during off-peak times. And the battery is intelligent. It learns and predicts what the facility's energy patterns are for maximum load shifting and peak shaving without input needed from the site staff. And another added benefit is just the ability to have, a redundant emergency backup power to supplement our current backup generation. meaning the site can withstand planned and unplanned outages for longer durations. So now we will go to the energy storage system savings slide. It's a lot of S's. So like I said, the cost of installing this project is $0, but there are costs that the county would incur after our contract with Tesla is expired. So for now, we're just looking at that top rectangle. So the operation and maintenance, which would occur after the contract with Tesla expires at 10 years, is estimated at about $4,500 a year or $45,000 for the remaining useful life of the battery. So that's for a 10-year period. The system removal costs are the costs that we would incur one time at the end of the life of the battery, so at year 20, and that would be for us shipping the batteries back to Tesla's recycling facilities. So we really conservatively estimated that at $50,000. So the overall system costs that we would incur, none of this within the first 10 years, but the overall cost that we'd incur would be $95,000. So now we'll look at the bottom table and we'll review the savings. And so the first value here on the left, it's only for reference and I'm not using this in the calculation, but the value of the system that we're getting from Tesla for free would be about $1.35 million. So like I said, Tesla analyzed the site's 15-minute interval data to determine the annual electricity savings. And so for the 10 years of the contract with Tesla, they're estimating $655,000 of electricity savings. And again, that's from load shifting and peak shaving. So once we take the electricity savings for the useful life of the battery of 20 years, that cost then moves to about $1.4 million. So now we're just looking at the kind of easy formula at the top. So if you take the total electricity savings, and that's 20 years of $1.4 million, and you subtract the cost for 20 years, that's $95,000, we're still looking at a net savings of about $1.3 million. So now we will go to questions addressed. Slide. Okay, so through this effort and with speaking with various interested parties, I want to review just a few of the specific questions that we have. We've addressed that I think are, really important to share with you. So sort of what is like Tesla's role in this and how does Tesla get paid? So Tesla is the developer and the installer of the systems. The state reimburses them 50% of the cost after the battery is installed. So they install it, Tesla gets reimbursed 50% by the program. The other 50% is performance-based and is paid out over the first 5 years of the project being installed. The next part is operations and maintenance. Because we would have a contract with Tesla for 10 years, Tesla handles all the O&M. There's no input that's needed from county staff. After that 10 years, then the county assumes the responsibility for the O&M. And Tesla's confirmed that we can competitively bid those service contracts for O&M if we choose to do so. The county owns the battery as soon as it's installed. And then what about exit clauses, walking away, that sort of thing. So like I said, County Council has reviewed and there are provisions in this contract that allow us to walk away from the project prior to it being installed. So this includes if Tesla were to change the contract from $0 or if we decide against the project, we could walk away from it so long as it's before the installation. So now we will move on to, I think one of the last slides here is next steps again. And like I said, we are at a point now where we've put together, fully vetted proposals. And today we are seeking your approval to allow Tesla to submit to the program And of course, after we would get your approval, we would still need to take this to the county board of supervisors for their approval of the same thing. But if approved by the state, we would then pursue the installation of these projects. We would have a 10-year contract with Tesla, in which they operate and maintain the battery, take care of performance. And then after that, we operate and maintain the battery for 10 years before shipping it back to Tesla. And then that takes us to the last slide. So thank you for your time. And like I said, both myself and Tesla are available for any questions that you might have. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Jill, did you have anything else you want to add, or?
Let's see. I did, so you can understand what the, how it went before the technical advisory committee, but not in our normal process. We were not able to, because of the timing, we did not have a meeting where this was the topic on our agenda. I did do sort of an email poll. I received support from Oceano, Pismo, and Oceano, Pismo, CSA 12, and just verbally over the phone with Grover Beach. And I did hear from a city of Arroyo Grande, from Shane Taylor. And in general, he was not in favor of it because of the rushed way that we are being, you know, the quickness in which we're being asked to make a decision without like really vetting it the way we would normally vet a project like this. But I did receive support from four of the agencies. And then, you know, kind of a hesitant with the city of AG. Maybe there's someone from TAC on board. Let's see. That would like to share any of their comments, questions?
Hey, Jill, it's Brian. Did you happen to see Greg Ray's comment?
Online here, or?
He sent several of us an email, and in general, he is supportive.
Yes.
But, you know, basically, he makes the comment that he wants to make sure that it's going to produce at least 75% of the savings. Or else I guess potentially it would void the contract. And then, you know, what about exemptions for acts of God?
That's a good question.
And yeah, I was going to say we have Tesla on the phone, so I could let Caleb speak to that a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah. So regarding, you know, acts of God or force majeure events, you know, we would advise you to have this equipment insured like you do many of your major pieces of equipment, so that insurance would cover, you know, a total loss event or substantial damage event caused by, you know, no fault of Tesla or yourself. So if we cause any sort of total loss event, we cover that per our workmanship warranty. And then the first question was regarding performance, is that right? We don't have a performance guarantee in the contract. What we are providing you regarding savings is based on the operation of the battery per the you know, performance-based incentive of the SGIP program that Annie described. That is the mechanism by which we get paid back. So we have to cycle that battery in a certain way to get paid back for the battery. As a result of cycling that battery, you know, the site will benefit in the forecasted amount described in Annie's savings amounts there. And it's in the proposal as well. So we don't provide you a performance guarantee, but we are mandated to operate that battery for 5 years in that manner. So I don't know if that helps describe that at all.
This is Jill. What does that mean when you say that you're mandated to cycle the ballot? If you're not familiar with, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so cycling the battery is really just charging it and then discharging it. So we'd be charging it at night when rates are lower and the grid, you know, energy is cleaner. And that's kind of the point of the SGIP program is to incentivize renewable penetration into the grid. So the way that these projects are doing that is they're charging at night and then they're discharging during the day during peak periods when you know, natural gas peaker plants are being turned on. So it sort of shifts your demand during those times to the battery instead of from PG&E to avoid using peaking energy, essentially. So in that way, it meets the program goals. And so one you can think of one cycle as charging the battery from 0 to 100% and then discharging the battery from 100% down to zero. And that's one cycle. So we have to do that 104 times per year to meet the program requirements.
Okay, and you'll do that for 5 years? And then what happens between 5 year and our 10-year contract with you?
So we, in our operations and maintenance contract, we will continue operating the battery in that manner for the next 5 years. So, you know, we still want the site to continue saving. So, and then I think from 10 or years 11 to 20, we would offer you, you know, an extra services contract to continue operating that battery for that additional period. But again, that's totally up to you, whether you want to operate the battery yourself, have us do it. It's totally, it's your equipment. You know, our contract runs out at the end of 10 years. So any extra services would have to be a separate agreement, you know, totally approved and can go out to competitive bid.
This is Shirley, and I know that some of my board will be interested in knowing about the battery. And do you ever have failures or pollution or, you know, is there any possibility of some, you know, major catastrophe?
Yeah, it's a good question. We have not had any thermal runaway events in any of our energy storage systems ever. So that's probably the main concern with energy storage is, you know, will it catch fire? Or how will it act if there is a fire? So we've done extensive burn testing, which we can share with you. You know, there's never been a thermal runaway event. We have almost 3 gigawatt hours of deployed energy storage worldwide now over the last 9 years now. So I've got a lot of data, a lot of operational time with these batteries, and I've never had an event like that. As far as pollution, it's a totally closed system, so there's no off-gassing or anything like that. The only coolant we use is an ethylene glycol water solution, so it's food-grade antifreeze. In the battery, and then there's a very small amount of refrigerant that's in a closed loop that never gets exposed to the environment.
Okay, and then the same thing when it's removed, there's not been any problems at the time of removal?
Nope, so it's self-contained. You can basically disconnect it electrically from your system. Unbolt it from the concrete pad, put it on a truck and ship it back to us, and we will handle all of the breaking down of the individual components, reusing those components that are reusable, and then properly disposing of the remainder of the system.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
This is, sorry, go ahead, Karen.
No, go ahead, Kristen. I'll wait till the end.
This is Kristen Barnett, City of Arroyo Grande. Jill, is the timing, is the rush just because the funds might run out if we dilly-dally?
That's my understanding. Annie, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, that's exactly why. And Caleb can speak more to the timeline. but we are trying to prioritize this with the other two sites that I referred to earlier, just to make sure that we can try to get in before the state's funding runs out. And Caleb, if you want to speak to the timeline, feel free.
Sure. So it's a first come, first served program. You do need a contract in place to apply for the program so that the funds are earmarked for your project. And then as long as you continue with the project and meet deadlines associated with the project, you will retain that earmarked funding. For public entities, you have 250 days to cancel and receive a refund on the deposit. So we have to put a deposit down for each project that we bring to this program and get approval for. So we have 250 days to cancel our application and receive our deposit back for these projects. So that gives us a little bit of time to figure out, what is the best design, give you detailed engineering plans, give you all the technical data sheets and have technical discussions with you. Unfortunately, the way that they constructed this incentive, it is sort of a rush to get a contract in place so that we can just apply for the funding. So that has been difficult, kind of putting the cart before the horse in a way. But, we are offering these contracts because after our initial technical due diligence, we're comfortable with estimating that this will be a zero cost contract. We're confident that we can do this project at cost based on information provided. And that cost will be fully covered by the incentive. So that's why we're able to offer these contracts for $0, is that we think these are pretty good sites. No major electrical issues. We think the battery will reduce your energy bill and we'll be able to operate. So it's sort of been a rush to just get applications in here. So certainly want to make sure that you're comfortable before going into a contract. Just want to be aware that we have probably till the end of September to get an application in to the program before the funds are gone in PG&E.
Kristen, one other thing I want to tack on, this is Annie, one other thing I want to tack on is if during that time Tesla went back and did some additional engineering and came back with a project that was any other than $0, even if it was $1, we have the ability to essentially walk away from the contract if that's what we chose.
Okay, and thank you for that. Also, the other two locations the county is looking at, so those have not been fully vetted yet or approved, and can you tell us where those are?
Yeah, those are actually in the exact same place that yours are at, where we're seeking approval today, actually, to allow Tesla to submit the application, essentially sign the contract and submit the application to the state to get in the queue, if you will. So we will be speaking with the NOSI Commission later today to have them hopefully support that. And with that, then our next step would be to go to the County Board of Supervisors, which we have on the agenda for the first, which is next week, to have the County Board of Supervisors approve to do the same. We wouldn't be able to have this move forward without their approval. But all three of these projects are essentially going together as the priority item. And then the other three sites that I referenced would then go on the subsequent board date if there was still funding available.
Okay, thank you for that. Go ahead, Jill.
All right. What other sites in the county are you considering, Annie?
Yeah, so we have the health campus that's over on Bishop and Johnson Slow, and then the public health building that's across the street from that. And then we also have the booster station. Is that correct, Caleb?
The Santa Margarita pump station.
Yeah, the booster station in Santa Margarita.
And then
the what station?
The booster station in Santa Margarita on top of the grade.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Okay, then just one final question, I think, on this right now, for now. So maybe you already went over this, Jill, and I apologize if you did, but so right now, what's the situation as far as backup for power shutoff at Lopez Lake for at the water treatment plant?
So right now we have a generator on site, and we do use it from time to time. I couldn't tell you how many times per year, but it allows us to run the plant for. Dave might know how many hours.
Actually, I think it's a couple days.
Days.
Yeah.
Okay.
At a time.
So we have a generator that allows us to keep up running for it. I think it's 3 to 5 days now that I think about it. And so this having battery would just be like extra redundancy. But we do already have a generator in the plant.
Okay. Okay, I guess those are my questions right now. I might have more. Thanks, you guys.
This is Brian. I have a few questions. One thing is, if solar were ever contemplated in the future, would these batteries accommodate solar?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because one of the things that we've looked at for Lopez has been solar. And, you know, as you may or may not know, solar does not mean that a site is operational if the power goes out, and having batteries attached to that solar would allow us to continue to reap the benefits of the renewable energy during a power outage event.
Indeed. Are there any of these batteries that have been in service for more than 10 years?
I don't believe so. No. We have cars that have been. It's essentially the same.
And same technology?
Yeah, it's the same cell that we actually use in the Model 3 is used in our energy storage systems. But you know, just kind of the nature of being an electric vehicle company and having billions of miles driven on them, we have a lot of operational data that we use to influence our energy storage systems. So it's the same fundamental technology that we use in our stationary storage products. So I think the oldest would be 8 years. Our full 3 gigawatt hour fleet has an uptime in the 97% range, I believe. So that means, you know, all of the projects we've deployed, there's only a couple percent of downtime due to maintenance or outages or faults. So pretty good operational data. We're confident that we're giving you a good product. So,
okay. Well, and I guess the nature of my question was just trying to figure out, is there a degradation in performance, after 10 years?
Yeah. So I have a warranty we can share with you that describes how the battery degrades with operation. The warranty would be a 15-year warranty on this product. So happy to share that.
I realized that, you know, the agreement calls for basically the county to return the batteries after 20 years. What if the county decided that they wanted to keep the batteries for some reason? Would that be allowed?
Yes, so that's actually not in the agreement. We don't require you to return them. It is your property. You can keep them if you want to. You can disconnect them and let them sit in perpetuity if you want to. I mean, it's your property. But if you want to dispose of them after 20 years or after they're no longer operational, at any point you can ship them to us and we will recycle them. So that's the point of our recycling program. It's not a mandate. It's just available for you.
Okay. And then, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about sort of what the county's out is on this. And it sounds like it's pretty open-ended over the next about 250 days. You know, as the contract is kind of coming together,
Is that a fair statement, or is it longer than that?
So for public entities, we have 250 days to rescind our application and get our deposit refunded to us. And that's not written into the contract, actually. But, you know, if you decide you're not going to move forward on this project, we naturally will just cancel and get our money back, at which point we have no damages done. You know, we've received all of our money back. So I think really it buys us some time to go through additional technical due diligence and decide this is something that makes sense for you. But obviously I wouldn't advise you to sign a contract without understanding what it says and the project in general. So happy to, you know, hold some other meetings over the next few weeks, try to get everyone, you know, all their questions answered and everyone comfortable. You know, certainly we make ourselves available for that. So.
Caleb, this is Annie. When does that 250 days start? Is it from when you submit to the state, or what's the start?
Yeah, I believe it's, you know, when they acknowledge receipt of the submission.
Okay.
Which is when the funds are earmarked to that specific project.
And then finally, it's my understanding that County Council has already reviewed this agreement. Were there any specific concerns that they had?
No, very surprisingly to me, because I've worked with them on four solar contracts that have taken a significant amount of time. There was only one clause regarding arbitration that ultimately we didn't do anything with. But no, there was no negotiations that council suggested or recommended.
Okay, thank you. That's my question.
This is Shirley with OCSD, and I had a question about you. Someone said that we were the fifth or sixth highest energy users in your portfolio, are we that high mainly because of the peak hours, or, you know, what makes us such a high energy user?
Yeah, Shirley, this is Annie. That's a great question. So what makes this site such a high consumer to begin with is just the type of operations that are happening at that particular site and at those meters. And, you know, that's pumping and moving water around, which takes a significant amount of energy. With the demand, that just, again, it's all because the operations are so intense, as opposed to like an office building that's just running air conditioning and lights. And I always tell kind of these are water users that have consumption that's in the millions, and we, you know, are paying a significant amount of money. It's not necessarily a bad thing that we have high overall consumption with mm-hmm. moving water around and treating water. A lot of times there's no way around it. So then from my, you know, work role, what I'm looking for is to make sure that we are using the energy as efficiently as we can. And if so, then how can we either reduce that if possible, or how can we offset it, through solar, or how can we cut costs through load shifting and peak shaving?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Karen Bright, City of Grover Beach. I really just have one question, and that is regarding the reservation request form. And there's a question on there that asks if they've experienced at least 2 PSPS, or public safety power shutoff, if you have experienced at least 2 public safety power shutoffs, and the answer is no. In your experience, I guess this is for Tesla, for Mr. Patrick, in your experience with these applications, would that be a negative for for our application?
No, because you're located in a high fire threat district. So it's an either or on the PSPS and the high fire threat district. You either have to be in a high fire threat district, number two or three, or you need to have had experienced two or more PSPS shutoff events. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. All right, very good. Well, that's good to know. Oh, and I did have one other question. I'm sorry. So the other sites that are going to go for consideration for these funds, they will be evaluated separately. Is that correct?
That is correct. Well, go ahead, Caleb. Sorry, I was thinking from the county perspective, but go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, that's my understanding, is that both, you know, the county has to approve projects individually. They are the exact same agreements. Only the address and system size and incentive and cost amounts are changed on those agreements. And then the RRF form is individual to each project. So yeah, each project receives its own specific application to the incentive and is approved individually by the program administrators at PG&E.
Okay. Very good. So then we don't rely on the others to be to meet the criteria. Okay.
Very good. It's not an all or nothing. It's any one of these could be approved and others could be not approved for the program. So it's sort of up to the program administrators. We think we have a good argument for each site. So that's why we've worked on these six.
Well, all right then. Those are my questions. Any other questions from our board? Okay. All right then. Well, Jill, I'll hand it back to you.
So today, what we're looking for is for someone on the Zone 3 advisory committee to make a motion that, as stated in the staff report under recommendation, to support Zone 3 entering into a Tesla Power Products agreement for battery energy storage for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. Either make the motion and then I can take a quick roll call vote for the four of you, and we will have a decision one way or the other whether to support or not support.
Okay.
Did you take public comment?
No,
we took public comment earlier. We can certainly take public comment now if there's any public comment. Are there any callers on the line or any other public comment in any other forum?
There's none. I don't have any comments here online, and I'm not hearing anybody speaking up from those of us who are present on the phone.
Okay, thank you. Are there any board comments? Okay, hearing none. Is there anyone ready to make a motion? Okay, well then I'll go forward here and see if we can get something started then. Then I would move staff recommendation that the Zone 3 Advisory Committee support Zone 3 entering into a Tesla Power Products Agreement for battery energy storage for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a first by me, Karen Bright. A second, I believe, was that Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Thank you.
May we have a roll call?
Yes. Member Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Bright?
Yes.
And Member Gibson?
Yes.
All right, then the motion passed.
Very good, thank you. So being that was our only action item on this agenda, we can then conclude with any other committee member comments?
Nope. Yeah, this is Shirley.
Okay, Shirley,
and
thank you.
I just want to apologize for being late. I'm the worst technical person, so.
You weren't the only one, Shirley. We all had those issues, I think. I don't know that Kristen did, but I think the rest of us did. So thank you for persevering is what I have to say about that. So anyway, thank you very much. And we will adjourn this meeting. And thank you all for sticking with us and getting here.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
Annie, Caleb.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you all. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.